Hello, I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Secrets. We are doing the talk, the walk, in relation to the last DVD and the DVD beforehand, which covered, the last DVD covered mainly composting, and the previous one covered the general introduction to biodynamics. So this particular talk is going to cover both, and we're very, very lucky to have two experts on the line, and which is Hamish Mackay. Hello, Hamish.
Hello, Hugo, and everyone.
And
John.
And we have got John Priestley online too. Hello, John.
Hello, Hugo. How are you? And everyone
very
else.
Well. Well. Look, we are going to get going pretty well straight away. Hamish, did you manage to get those questions from George White?
The ones that just came now?
Yeah, I suppose you best how we best treat those. They are to do... They're covering material we covered last time in relation to the various ashes, the liquid you make to make compost, to make a weed product.
Right, okay.
Anyway, I'll bring that in at a bit later stage. At this stage, we will open the line and we'll allow people to... to start asking questions.
Yep.
Now, I think at this stage, to get going, you press star 7 and start talking. So, Stuart, are you in a position to say something or ask a question?
Okay, can...
Yes, get going.
Okay, I've watched the DVDs a couple of weeks ago. It's just a couple of questions. I'll explain myself a bit about my background. I live in Sydney, but have a property a couple of hours out of Sydney and not intending to move there for the next couple of years. So I'm interested in doing improving the soil prior to me actually moving to my property. So I've got a bit of a head start, if that makes sense.
Good.
And
are you 2 hours north, west, or south?
West of Sydney, out near Bathurst.
Right, okay, yep.
All right.
So probably the first, if I recall some information in the DVDs, I think Hamish, you said probably soil activator is the first thing to, the first preparation to use prior to 500. Is that correct?
The biodynamic soil activator has the 500 in it.
Okay.
Also, manure concentrate, which has all the compost preparations. It also has horn clay and some silica in it. So that's got. I'm trying to simplify it into getting everything to one product to get started with. Yeah.
Yep. No, that makes sense. That's good. That's that answers a number of my questions. Now, I'm not in a position to. I only have a couple hundred acres. I'm currently in a position to mix enough of the product in bulk to spray out on the out onto my property. But I had a thought, and this might be totally wrong, but I can make up some worm compost tea. And I was wondering if I did that, let's say a 1,000-litre batch, if then I added a couple of small amounts of the mixed activator to that, was able to spray that out. Would that be counterproductive, or would that be a small step in moving forward?
No, really good. Adding worm juice to the preparations or vice versa is excellent. Yeah. Yes. So you can do that for sure.
Okay, so what I was going to do is have, like, you know, 500 or 1,000 litres of worm compost tea made up, and then add a couple of the 30-litre or 30-gallon solutions that, you know, takes an hour to mix up, if I recall, and add a couple of those and then spray it out straight away as a combination.
Look, the more of it you can stir, the better. In other words, mix it and stir what you're going to put out. That would be preferable, yeah?
Okay. Okay. My next question, if I'm not hogging the airwaves.
Perfect.
is the process that I use to spray out my worm compost tea is via a fire pump, so to speak. Is that suitable to spray the...
What Richard Bunn does in West Australia, he just uses his fire nozzle strapped onto the back of his ute, and he just has it aiming out one side in a way that gives a good curtain of drops falling onto the ground. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So you just set the nozzle at whatever setting will give you the best curtain.
He also uses the fire pump to mix the preparations over the flow form.
Oh yeah, yep. I understand that. I have another question, not necessarily related to that, but in relation to peppering. I'm still not 100% have understood the peppering, but what I'm interested in doing, I have a serrated tussock problem on the property in certain areas, not across the whole thing. And I was interested, I've sprayed with chemicals before. It does kill the actual tussock, but it doesn't prevent the seeds germinating and coming up. So I'm looking for something that, okay, if it takes a couple of years to sort out, but I was interested in explaining the peppering process to me again in relation to something like serrated tussock.
Do you want to do the serrated tussock, John? Because the grazing part, I think, is part of it too.
Yeah, it is part of it, but serrated tussock is there with a job to do in as much as it's trying to get humus back into the soil. And
yes.
With the BD preparations, all of the root growth, instead of just remaining like cardboard does in dead soil, it becomes humus, and you will find that is why serrated tussock is there. Is to replenish the organic matter in the soil.
Okay.
And like we've had, I've got pictures of serrated tussock with roots up to 14 feet long that were, you know, washed out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And why it is there is to build the organic matter up in the soil.
Right.
And those patches where it is worst, probably as well, yeah, you can collect some of it, roots and all, and when it's got seed and flower on it,
mm-hmm.
and burn it on new moon and mix
full
it
moon.
With your...
Full moon?
Burn it on full moon.
Full moon, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when you collect it and let it dry, as long as you burn it on full moon, and then you can mix it with your preparations. When you put your worm juice and your soil activator out, you can add some of that ash to it, and you will find that it will certainly depress the spreading of it, but the main thing is you've got to get that organic matter in the soil built up to make the serrated tussock redundant.
Okay, so... So it's not an insurmountable task to basically eradicate the serrated tussock over a period of time after the soil is in a better condition.
Yes, it just will become redundant. It, you know, it's there to do a job, and its job is to build up the organic matter in the soil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And once you've got the bacteria there, to convert all of the organic matter into humus, that's when the serrated tussock will become redundant, and it will just, you know, over two or three years, you'll find that it will not come back at all. Where with poison, all you're doing is killing the symptom that you've ran out of organic matter in the soil.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
It will continue to come back.
Yeah. John, you spoke of a guy who fattened some cattle on serrated tussock by using molasses.
Yeah, attracted the cattle to graze it off by spraying it with molasses, 1 in 20. And the cattle, like he did a strip every day, and they were mature cattle, full-mouth bullocks, and they absolutely gnawed the serrated tussock down. It's high in cellulose, but it runs short in protein, and when you add the protein via molasses, it becomes attractive to the cattle, and they really flog it down, and I believe probably sheep would react the same way. I don't know because I've not seen it happen. But once you get sunlight onto the ground under those tussocks, you will find that all the sort of seeds, you know, there'll be legumes and native grass seeds that will germinate once the sun hits the soil, or you can actually go across and spread some more just on the surface, just broadcast some more ryegrass. One that's working out well is, lamb's quarter. What do we call that, Hamish? The one that Martin's using.
When we think about it, we can come back on that one.
But anyway, just diversity is the thing, and but getting sunlight into the ground is a tremendous setback for the serrated tussock.
Mm-hmm.
And by making it attractive as feed, the cattle will do that for you.
See, why I think the cattle is really important, because the peppering weakens the any future germination. It's not a knockdown. It won't kill what's there. And I having watched my brother working with weeds in the Braidwood district, the best way is to graze them. You know, you can spend heaps on poisons, but the biodynamic preparations make just about all plants more palatable. And then the molasses on top, and especially if you can graze it, prior to it going to seed, you can actually turn it into meat and sell it rather than having to just more and more poison. And the peppering helps two things. As John said, you let the light in, you get germination, and the biodynamics will help that. And the peppering will weaken the germination of any seeds into the future.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's great. That's great information. That sounds like something Do you know
the bridle track at Bathurst?
Yes, I do a little bit. Yep.
Okay. Look for a guy called Harry Whalen out there. There's a bit of a group out there that you can connect with. I'll dig up his phone number while we're talking.
Okay, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, Harry Whalen, there's quite an active group out there.
Okay, it's good to make contact with those people, because then I can read all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, someone demonstrating something or showing me something makes life easier as far as learning goes for me anyway.
Okay, absolutely. You got a pencil?
I have.
It's 6337.
6337, yes.
1185.
1185. Okay, and it's Harry Whalen, is it?
Whalen.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Tell him Hamish sent you and John.
I certainly will.
Yeah, I was there a couple of weeks ago. Anyway.
Stuart, is there anything else you want to ask Stuart, or we'll go to someone else?
There is a couple of things. If I'm not
just keep going, because we want to come back to this peppering business. Hamish, you might sort of introduce that as time goes on with what George White's got to say. But if that's too hard for you,
yep.
I'll bring it in. So, Stuart, just keep going.
A couple of other things. I think I recall in the DVDs that someone made mention that cattle will drink the 500 solution.
Yes.
Is that something viable if I have the cattle in the yards to put some the 500 solution in a trough and just see if they would do that?
I think you want to be careful on that, because you've got to look at what the regulations are in relation to, you want to make sure that in the 500 there's no animal material, because you're not allowed to give animal material back to animals. And
yeah,
no,
I think
on that.
The quantities we're talking about are not, and it's not actually animal material at that point. What I used to do is, if I brought new cattle onto the property, that's what I'd do. I'd do it anyway for a quietening thing, but I'd leave them in the yards with some hay and just put some of the biodynamic soil activator in the in the trough and let them get it into their gut and take it out with them. So yes, that's a good way of doing it. Especially if you have large areas where getting over the countryside is difficult.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention, because the BD product actually changes by the fact that it's cured, or the bacteria and the fungi have worked on it.
It's not animal product at that stage. In the same sense.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Okay. I just have one more question. I think someone also made mention that they've actually, sprayed it on the cattle, or just poured a little bit on the cattle as well.
sorry about that. That's me. Look, I don't think it applies in your situation. This was a guy in Namibia on country that you could hardly ride a horse over. So that was the way he got it out over his land. Yeah,
right.
Because he couldn't do it any other way. In your situation, I don't think that's applicable. Certainly, put them in the trough. But in the conditions you're in, I'd get your fire pump and stir it and get it out.
Okay. Thanks very much. That's all the questions for me.
Thanks, Stuart. Now look, that's a great question, Stuart, because farmers are finding it a little bit hard to get their minds around biodynamics. Yet, as you heard John say, it's a fairly straightforward process once you can start on it.
Mhm. Yep.
Hamish, do you want to sort of start on those questions that George White had in relation to how he makes his weed preparations and the timing, because things.
Okay, well, the making of the pepper, we've covered that. It's basically getting certainly the viable seed. If you can get the whole plant and ash that to a black ash, and then, as John described, you can mix that in with your preparation, your soil activator as it's going out, and that'll help weaken the germination of the plants, and that increases over years. In other words, if you keep doing it each year, the weakening will have more effect. I also need to say that it seems to be different if you have been using the biodynamic preparations, then the peppers will tend to work better. So it's a bit of a total picture. In other words, if you can get the soil active, get that what I call intelligence happening in the soil, then things like peppers have a better chance of working.
I think there's also the point, Hamish, that in a lot of cases, plants that you consider to be weeds, once you rebalance the soil, they don't occur anyway because you've made them redundant as well.
That's right, and that's why the weed teas and the biodynamic preparations are really the way to go. The peppering is a place of last resort, and often if you haven't actually fixed the problem, as John describes, and you use a pepper, you might be very successful, that plant won't grow, but then another one will come in its place to do the job. So there's no shortcut in this thing. It's really important to get the soil where the soil needs to be, and then the plants that are coming in as messengers will cease to worry you. So the weed tea, again, you get the weed, the whole weed root and all, stick it in water in a 44-gallon drum, 200-litre drum. You can half fill it with weeds and then fill it with water, and then stick a set of biodynamic compost preparations in it. And once you've made it up, it'll take a month or two to rot down, but then it'll keep a long time. But in biodynamics, we don't make the preparations to keep them. They're made to sort of put out. So never worry greatly about how long they're going to last. If you think you've been having it a bit long, stick another set of compost preparation, or give it a stir, stick another set of compost preparations in and go for it. But basically, once made, they'll last a year or two, and you know, you would expect to use them within the year anyway.